Is it time to primary Paul Ryan already? He just came into office. Well, there's a movement out there, believe it or not. And in this season of giving, Paul, Representative Paul Ryan, the arrogant and cynical Wisconsin former vice presidential candidate, has shown how much he cares about classical conservative issues by defecating all over the base of his party. He has more in common with Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and Barack Obama than Ronald Reagan. But can we do anything about this? Yes, primary him, primary Paul Ryan. This guy's an idiot. He just gave away the farm, and then when people came up and criticized him, he said, yeah, right, right. So the guy becomes a vice presidential candidate for another weak candidate, Mitt Romney, and now Paul Ryan thinks that he's something special. He's apples and oranges, different than anybody else. So why don't we primary the guy? I'm serious about this. Why don't we continually kick people out of the party like Boehner? Like, what's the guy's name? I can't remember his name now, from Virginia. These guys that were too liberal. One person doesn't represent the party. That's not possible. But a very disgusting movement of just accepting everything that the opposing party wants is it's disheartening, to say the least. Movement to primary Speaker Paul Ryan out of Congress picks up steam. I don't know about you, but I'm gonna be involved in this. Jim Hoff, the Gateway pundit, says, "We were warned. Harry Reid threw his support behind Paul Ryan for Speaker back in October. In July 2013, Representative Paul Ryan spoke with a Hispanic audience about his intention to push immigration reform in the House of Representatives." Immigration reform, by the way, is not reform so much as it is amnesty. I mean, your party has to stand for something, doesn't it? I mean, doesn't have to. I don't see, unless we go after this guy and kick him out, this Republican Party that acts like it's some sort of a giant corporation and makes its own independent decisions instead of representing us, unless we kick these people out repeatedly, we're not ever going to get representation. And I mean, that was our chance to defund Obamacare. It was our chance to go after immigration reform. And I mean, talking about real immigration reform by putting up a gate and all these other issues. Here's a little from Limbaugh on this.
The country was just sold down the river again by your very Republican Party. I have a headline here from the Washington Times. White House declares total victory over GOP in budget battle. That headline's a misnomer. There was never a battle. None of this was opposed. The Republican Party didn't stand up to any of it. And the die has been cast for a long time on this. I know many of you are dispirited, depressed, angry, combination of all of that. But folks, there was no other way this could go. Because 2 years ago, when the Republican Party declared they would never do anything that would shut down the government and they would not impeach Obama, there were no obstacles in Obama's way, and there were no obstacles in the way of the Democrat Party. When you surrender the power of the purse, and that's the primary power the House of Representatives has, not a penny of money can be spent in this country by this government without the House of Representatives authorizing it. Obama can spend all he wants, but if the House doesn't give him the mechanism, he can't spend any of it. But the Republicans squandered that. They gave up the power of the purse. And the reason they did that is because for some inexplicable reason, they are literally paranoid, scared to death of even being accused of doing something that would shut down the government. So to avoid even the accusation that they were going to or would ever even think of shutting down the government, They signaled that whatever Obama wanted to spend, he would get, because they figured that had less damage to them politically than the allegation that they were shutting down the government. So, very simply, ever since the Republican Party became the party of keeping the government open at all costs, we get bills like this. There's simply no stopping the Democrats. There's no mechanism. Every constitutional mechanism found in the power of the purse, separation of powers, the Republican Party years ago gave it away. In total fear of the media. Now, there's also a factor that needs to be mentioned, too, and that is that many Republican donors want every bit of this money spent, and they have donated voluminously to key Republicans in order to get the money spent. So it's not all Republican fears. It's not all Republican caving.
Anyway, that's where Limbaugh was coming from on this, which I happen to catch, and I totally agree. Paul Ryan and his stupid Taliban beard needs to be primaried. What is going to get these people's attention anyway? This idea that they can do anything that they want. They're in this situation because God put them there, or they're maybe Paul Ryan thinks he's the son of God or something. I don't know. I was just absolutely amazed. I knew he was a liberal guy, you know. I knew he was liberal because a few years ago he said he supported gay marriage and everything. So he's showing his cards a little bit. He's liberal. All right. You know, you're going to have liberal and conservative members in your group. But I mean, I honestly don't get where the value in just completely capitulating when you see that your party is struggling and fighting and screaming about issues like immigration and and other things, that they don't want all of these Syrians brought into the country. They don't want a bunch of money put into moving them around and stuff. Not to mention all the other things. And they just go along. You know what Paul Ryan and John Boehner and all these other people believe is that America is a giant business, and we're going to keep it in business by making sure that we make these deals with the president, with Nancy Pelosi. Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, and the president are all crazy. They're all certifiably nuts. All right, so I've got some other news for you. Hillary Clinton goes and uses the bathroom and doesn't let anybody else in there, even though there are many stalls in there. She stalled anybody else who wanted to use the bathroom, and so they're calling her a diva. And then she came to the platform late. And in addition, you've got the Miss America. Here's a little bit from the Miss Universe. There was a mistake of the Miss Universe.
Miss Universe 2015 is Colombia. I have to apologize. The first runner-up is Colombia. Miss Universe 2015 is Philippines.
You've got to be joking. That's like these people that, like this lady that went and won $8 million on a slot machine and they said it was a mistake. Anyway, so Miss Puerto Rico, by the way, was suspended because she had texted or Twittered or whatever against Muslims. Let me ask you this. What do we hope to gain by being politically correct? Do you really think Islam is going to want to kill less people if we're politically correct? That's crazy. Radical Islam. Are they going to want to kill less people because we're politically correct? They don't care. They don't even take any notice of it. It is so crazy that we have the world's most powerful country and society and military, and we're bowing down to these people. It's the craziest thing I've ever seen. All right, here is from the Saturday Night Live opening. This is a cold opening. Well, what they call the cold opening, the beginning of Saturday Night Live on the most recent. In other words, this is comedy. Most recent debate from the GOP.
Hotel in Las Vegas. It's the Republican debate with your moderator, Wolf Blitz.
Good evening. For those of you who missed our earlier undercard debate featuring Mike Huckabee and Rick Santorum, well, the results are in and everybody lost. Now, let's meet the candidates. 9 are here tonight. The 5 who are actually have a chance are Donald Trump, Ted Cruz, Ben Carson, Marco Rubio, and poor sweet Jeb Bush. Would the rest of you just wave so your parents know you're here?
Hey, Baba Boy!
We begin with the front runner, Mr. Trump. Your opening remarks.
Debates are stupid. You should be paying me. And Wolf Blitzer looks like Papa Smurf.
Wolf, may I take a desperate swing at Donald now?
Go ahead, Mr. Bush.
This is what he does. He says these offensive things, then he bullies anyone who challenges him. Well, guess what? You can't insult your way to the presidency.
Oh, really, Jughead? Because I'm at 43 and you're at 3. Jeb, you're a nice guy, but you're a lightweight. And I know for a fact that you pee sitting down.
No, I don't.
Yes, you do.
All right, let's go to the surgeon, Ted Cruz. Senator, you said you will relentlessly carpet bomb ISIS. Is this a real strategy?
Well, Wolf, if I'm president, I can promise you ISIS will hate me. And how do I know? Because everyone who knows me hates me. Democrats hate me. Republicans hate me. I have what doctors call a punchable face. Politico actually did a poll, and I was voted the candidate most people wanted to throw a beer at. So look out, ISIS. Because I'm going to crash your party. And just like every party I go to, I'm going to ruin it.
Governor Christie, what steps would you take to keep Americans safe?
Wolf, I would like to answer that with a series of fear-mongering statements.
Go ahead.
We are under attack, and we are all going to die. Mothers are putting their kids on buses, and these buses are being driven off cliffs by terrorists. Today, in our great country, 1 out of every 3 babies born are already in ISIS. They are here, folks, and I am the only one up here with the stones to take them on. I am a cowboy. On a steel horse I ride, Punjabi forever!
He's trying to start World War III!
Sir, we're not taking comments from the audience yet.
No, I'm Rand Paul. I'm up here.
Oh, sorry. Well, let's go to Dr. Carson. Doctor, do you, a brain surgeon, have the experience and toughness to deal with world leaders like Vladimir Putin?
Well, that question makes me furious, Wolf. I might go ham up in here right now. Of course I can be tough. As a surgeon, I had to tell people things they didn't want to hear. Not that they had to have brain surgery. That it will be performed by me, a man who they believe to be asleep. But I'm not asleep. I'm amped, I'm jacked, and I'm ready to throw down.
What do you think of that, Mr. Putin?
Miss Fiorina, your thoughts.
You want to talk about Putin? I know Vladimir Putin personally. I sold him an HP printer, and now he hates my guts. It doesn't work. It never worked. And when Putin called me to complain, I just smiled that classic Carly Fiorina smile.
Okay, well, it looks like Jeb's got his courage back up. He's ready to take another run at Trump. Mr. Bush, go ahead and say out loud what you've been quietly muttering to yourself.
Trump,
I mean, this guy's the chaos candidate. Am I right? Chaos? Is he for real? No, man.
Jeb, you're a very nice man, but you're basically a little girl. Folks, this is true. I got hold of Jeb's birth certificate, and full disclosure, his real name is Jebra.
That is not true.
That is true. Yes, it is. Jebra. Jebra.
That's not my name. That's not my name.
Hey, Jebra, loser, say what?
What? Oh,
let's move on to Senator Rubio. Senator, a few weeks ago, you were many people's pick as the most electable candidate. Tonight, you're in fourth place. Are you resonating with voters?
Wolf, let's remember one thing. I am by far the most attractive person on this stage. I'm a heart 7, baby. I'm young, Cuban, and let's face it, I'm the only one up here you'd swipe right on. So why am I losing to this guy who's fast asleep?
Before we go to commercial, we'll give Jeb one last chance to make an impression.
Oh, guys, listen. If we work together, we can stop Donald Trump. If you combine my numbers with yours, yours, and yours, we'd almost win.
Hey, Jebra, shut your pie hole.
Okay, you know what? You're a jerk. You're never going to be President Donald.
Yeah, no kidding. None of us are genius. And I'll tell you something else. Live from New York, it's Sunday.
All right, so that was a pretty good opening from Saturday Night Live. We'll take a little break here and come back. And I've got another thing that Jeb said that I found astounding at 6:23 a.m. Las Cruces, 1450. Hope you're ready for Christmas. If you're not, you know what? I accept that it's another day, hopefully not at the office, but it's just another day for some people. But I put a Christmas show together and found out the history of Christmas. I was amazed. So you'll have to tune in. 623-523-1450 to call in on AM Las Cruces, and we'll be right back. I got this clip to play from you for Bush. You're not going to believe it, or maybe you will.
The star that lights our way, so begin our great hope.
It's 6:28, and I'm naming this next section of the show Jeb Bush, Anatomy of a Loser. 35 degrees out there, by the way. Anatomy of a Loser. Here we go. Check this out.
Talk about politics at the end here. 6 months ago, people thought you were the front runner. Your campaign is not
the front. I hated
that. You hated being a front runner?
Yeah, I feel much better back here.
Why'd you hate being the front runner?
Well, because I've always thought that there was going to be a high expectation for me, and I totally get it.
Because
I have a brother that was president and a father that was president. And that higher expectation, it was important to realize. And so being the front runner made me feel like that people are going to begin to say, well, the guy's just dancing right through this. I have to go earn it. I have higher expectations on me than people have on me. So it doesn't bother me a bit that the expectations are high. And I want to win, which means that you garner momentum when it matters. And so I feel good about where we are right now.
You don't have an expectations problem now. You have to fight. So what are you going to do to fix it?
I'm going to campaign my heart out here in New Hampshire and in Iowa and in South Carolina. And I'm going to show who I am and give people ideas that we can fix these things and give them some sense that the future is going to be brighter. I mean, this is how you win. All in. And that's what we're going to do.
How are you going to fix yourself, Jeb? Anatomy of a Loser, round two. Check this one out.
Just one other thing. I got to get this off my chest. Donald Trump is a jerk.
Thank you.
You can't
you cannot insult your way to the presidency. You can't disparage women, Hispanics, disabled people. Who is he kidding? This country is far better than that. And the idea that he's actually running for president and insulting people is deeply discouraging, to be honest with you. And I think we should reject that out of hand. I hope you're going to reject it by voting for me. But a guy like that should not be the front-running candidate of our great party. That is not how we win. I feel better now. I gave myself therapy there. Thank you for allowing me to do it.
What a loser. He gave himself therapy. What a moron. I'm sorry. If you love Jeb Bush, I'm sorry. I feel sorry for you. All right. Here's round three, Anatomy of a Loser.
Because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Stuart Smalley, of course. I'm sorry, Jeb Bush. Your train left the station years ago. You should have gone and fought for one of those senatorial seats in Florida. You should have fought for that to keep the control of the Senate for the Republicans instead of trying to line your pockets with banking money or whatever it was that you did. But Jeb Bush, Anatomy of a Loser, you're not going to win, drop out. You're just making it harder for the eventual winners to make their way to the surface. It's at this point, it's a Darwinian fight, is it not? You may not be a Darwinianist. I may not be a Darwinianist, but there's no other way to describe it right now. 6:31, Kelly O'Connell, show AM Las Cruces, 1450. 523-1450, 523-1450. Please call up if you're a Jeb Bush supporter and tell me how he's not Stuart Smalley and how he plans on winning and how he loves being at the back of the pack. Who likes being at the back of the pack, by the way? Loser. And we'll be right back to discuss a little bit more. Well, we got some NFL from yesterday, too. Don't forget that. Jeb Bush, Anatomy of a Loser, round four. Here's some of the stuff that he says to himself and his campaign workers.
I deserve good things. I am entitled to my share of happiness. I refuse to beat myself up. I am an attractive person. I am fun to be with.
Daily Affirmation with Stuart Smalley. Stuart Smalley is a caring nurturer, a member of several 12-step programs, but not a licensed therapist.
I'm going to do a terrific show today, and I'm going to help people because I'm good enough, I'm smart enough, and doggone it, people like me.
Jeb Bush, Anatomy of a Loser. All right, so let's look at the NFL. And tonight you have Detroit versus New Orleans. 4-9, Detroit's record. They lost a heartbreaking game to Green Bay, but they'd only be 5-8. But New Orleans is 5-8, so they're both totally irrelevant. Speaking of anatomies of losers, you've got Tampa Bay 23, St. Louis 31, New Jersey Jets. Well. Ooh, I better not tell you that one. You might have strong emotions about that one. Chicago 17, Minnesota 38, Jacksonville 17, Atlanta 23, Houston 16, Indiana 10. Indiana was, they were doing okay. Washington is in first place. Washington 35, Buffalo 25, Kansas City 34, Baltimore 14, Seattle 30. Cleveland 13, And let me just play some of these other games for you, because I know how much you love your football. You may not have seen all your games yesterday, but let's check this one out. Here's the Packers and the Raiders.
In Oakland, Packers taking on the Raiders. First quarter action, Raiders down 7-0 now. Derek Carr sailing a pass to the right side, and Demaryius Randall there for the interception, and Randall is off the races, takes it 43 yards down to the end zone. Carr intercepted on back-to-back throws. Packers the lead 14-0. In the second quarter now, Carr with time looks and finds Amari Cooper open for the touchdown. Raiders trailing 14-13. In the third quarter, Oakland down 17-13. Carr dropping back, lofts the pass to the end zone. Cooper hauls in the 26-yard touchdown. On the ensuing Packers drive, Aaron Rodgers hits a pass up the sideline. James Jones wide open for the touchdown. The former Raider scoring. The Packers, they go on to win 30-20.
All right. So actually, I heard a clip from James Jones that was absolutely astounding. I couldn't believe it. He grew up homeless. If I have time, maybe next hour I'll play it for you. This is an exciting game. Carolina and the Giants came down to the very last minute. I couldn't believe it. There was some stuff going on in the Carolina game that I couldn't. Odell Beckham and the person that they claim is the best safety in the game right now. And I'm trying to remember that guy's name. I really didn't recognize him, but they were saying he's playing better than anybody. Josh Norman. So anyway, check this out. A game that was decided at the last second.
Odell Beckham Jr., downright nasty. This matchup between the Carolina Panthers and Giants down to the end, and Carolina victorious again. Here's how it went down. Cam Newton, the Panthers, looking to remain undefeated. Josh Norman and Beckham Jr. getting into it all day Sunday. Coming in, Norman called the matchup against Beckham edible. Norman clearly in his head all afternoon, and here, late helmet-to-helmet hit. A lot of people asking why he wasn't ejected from this game. Cam Newton to Ted Ginn Jr., and he's in for six. Fourth and five in the red zone for the Giants. Manning to Beckham Jr., and he beats Josh Norman there. He wanted offensive pass interference. He's stepping all over him. Game is tied. 32 seconds to go. Cam escaping pressure, keeps it himself. MVP candidate picking up the first down. Panthers with a chance to win it. 5 seconds to go. Graham Gano on from 43 yards out. It's up and it's good. Cam Newton puts the Panthers on his shoulders. 340 yards passing, 5 touchdowns, 8 carries for 100 yards rushing. And the Panthers improved to 14-0 with a 38-35 victory. Odell Beckham Jr. called for 4 penalties in this game, tied for the most by a wide receiver in a game in the last 15 seasons. 3 of the 4 penalties, personal fouls.
It was ridiculous, and there were fouls that they didn't even call that were just absolutely jaw-dropping. But anyway, we'll come back and get a little bit more NFL for you. Some more good games, but I don't see – I was never a fan of Newton because his team beat my team in the national championship. But it just seems like you're going to have to give him the MVP award this year. The way that the Carolina Panthers are playing is just astounding from where they were last year, even. 6:42, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, and we're going to come back and hit some more NFL highlights. All right, so you've got teams that are in first place that are struggling, like the Broncos. And here's your Broncos.
To Heinz Field we go, Broncos visiting the Steelers. First quarter tied at 7. Brock Osweiler completes to Emmanuel Sanders. Deep downfield. He's got it in the end zone. Broncos lead 14-7. Now let's go to the fourth quarter. Steelers down 27-20. Ben Roethlisberger passes left. Complete to Marcus Wheaton for the touchdown. Game tied at 27. Now under 5 minutes left in fourth. Osweiler pressured in his pass. It's intercepted by Ryan Shazier. Mike Tomlin, everyone, fired up. They still got this. Then ensuing Steelers possession, Roethlisberger completes to Antonio Brown for the touchdown. Steelers lead 34-27, and under 2 minutes left, Osweiler's pass is incomplete, intended for Sanders. The Steelers showing that with Big Ben, they can get it done. They win 34-27.
All right, so you've got that there, and then this is a little bit of a heartbreaker for you. Gird your loins here, but this is Cowboys season is just down the toilet. Sorry to tell you that, but here we go. And
here we go.
Yep.
Jets, 3-game winning streak. More. You can't make these mistakes. When every point matters. Interception. Fourth quarter. Remember, I said the Steelers and the Chiefs 8-5. The Jets needing this win to make sure they keep pace. Eric Decker, touchdown. These are the type of plays Ryan Fitzpatrick makes. He's not spectacular, solid. Kendrell Tompkins, 43 yards into field goal territory. So Randy Bullock, after the drive is stopped from 40 yards out, you bet. Right down Broad Street. One final chance. On second down, Kellen Moore goes for it all. I'll get this. He's got an arm.
Oh, yeah.
Dez is down there with four defenders, and there's the third interception I was talking about. And so that's your ball game, and yet another loss for the Dallas Cowboys. 19-16 with the loss at 4-10. The Cowboys are eliminated from playoff contention in the horrible NFC East.
All right, so the Cowboys are eliminated. I just want to say one thing. Jerry Jones is a bad players. He should keep his mouth shut. They had Brandon Whedon, who won yesterday for the Texans, I think. Brandon Whedon's not a bad quarterback. All of the quarterbacks who substituted for Tony Romo have failed, but Jerry Jones attacks Brandon Whedon because he, even though he had played fairly well, the Cowboys weren't winning, which is a team issue ultimately. And you've got this guy, Jerry Jones, this idiot attacking people and saying, you know, this person on our team is good. The person that we just cut is bad. I mean, why scapegoat people? You know, it's the Cowboys' fault if they don't have a better quarterback. But anyway, Brandon Whedon's doing well. The Cowboys are sinking. Sorry to say that. We'll come back with just a few more clips. 6:49, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, 523, 1450 on 1450 KOBE. And here is your Cardinals, and they played the Eagles. The Eagles just made too many mistakes and really ruined it for themselves. And here we go.
To Philadelphia we go, Carson Palmer and the Cardinals visiting the Eagles. Under 5 minutes to go in the second quarter, 3rd and 5, David Johnson breaks through the defense, runs down the side. Gets away from the defense and makes it to the end zone. Johnson getting through the first line of defense outruns the rest of the Eagles down the sideline for the 47-yard touchdown. Johnson with the second touchdown of the first half. Cardinals go into halftime 17-10. Now, early third quarter, Johnson battles two Eagles defenders to get into the end zone. Johnson with 183 touchdowns. Cardinals up 23-10. Later in the third quarter, Ryan Matthews runs through a post and then fumbles. The Cards would recover. Next possession, John Brown gets the catch and call. Spins up the tackle and is able to run through a touchdown. The Cardinals, they go on to win 40-17.
Two fumbles and at least one interception for the Eagles. For the Eagles are still they're still in it, I think. And here's your Patriots game.
Patriots hosting the Titans. First quarter, no score. New England at the Titans 5. Tom Brady looking, finds Rob Gronkowski in the end zone right there. Patriots with a lead 7-0. Second quarter, same score. Marcus Mariota back to pass, but Chandler Jones strips the ball from him. From his hand, it bounces back to the end zone, and Akeem Hicks lands on it for the touchdown. Patriots up 14-0. Now later in the second, Mariota gets sacked by Jamie Collins, but he is hurt. Check this out. Collins pulls down Mariota, who hurt his knee. Now Mariota left the game, did not return. The rookie quarterback replaced by Zach Mettenberger. Still in the second, Brady right here throws a short screen pass to James White. White! All the way for a 30-yard touchdown. The Patriots over the Titans. Final score, 33-16.
All right, so the Patriots do have some problems. They've got an injury list. Patrick Chung, a cornerback, linebacker Hightower, and wide receiver Danny Amendola. And these are all top-notch players for them. And so it's not really clear. I don't think it's a real serious issue with Danny Amendola, but Danny Amendola is a terrific receiver. Led the league in total yards right before he came to the Patriots, and the Patriots are going to be getting Julian Edelman back. I don't know who the favorite is to win the Super Bowl, but I would think that one of the favorites to be in it is obviously the Panthers. And then you've got other teams that are playing pretty well. You've got the Patriots, Green Bay, and a few others that I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona was in the finals. So Carson Palmer, when he's not injured, is just spectacular, has been having a couple of spectacular years. All right, so I've got some stuff for you. I've got one of the most amazing audios that I've ever heard, and somebody else told me about it. It is the governor of the state was interrupted partying, and I have a long video or an audio from that. And we've got some other things to tackle. I just wanted to tell you there's some stuff going on, obviously, with ISIS that you want to find out about, and also Trump going after Hillary locking people. Could that possibly surprise you that Hillary would lock the bathroom, everybody else out of the bathroom? She's so self important. But and we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Takashi.
All right, man. Stop chopping up the plantains and talk.
Hey, I'm not sure if you mentioned this, buddy, but that hoopla Miss Martinez, our astute governor, was having up there. There was some audio recordings I heard of her being drunken on the phone with the cops.
For that, so I'm going to play it next hour.
Oh, okay. Well, then I'm looking forward to that, man.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right, folks. Let's see what else is there. Trump going after Hillary, saying that she lies all the time. And trying to see what else that you might find. And then Trump says, can you imagine that as president? There is this really weird story about these comments that were made by Obama that during an interview in the New York Times, and it was so bad that the New York Times went back and changed the article four times because they were not happy with how it made the president sound, which was totally out of touch, which he said, and I think I mentioned this the other day, he didn't watch enough cable to understand how Americans felt. I mean, talk about it being detached. It was a crazy admission, but it was really what everybody knew already. The president has got some profound problems, and the problems are affecting America. 659 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523 1450, and we'll be back. You're going to love this clip from the governor. It's going to make your holiday. We'll be back to listen to that after a break on the hour. All right, so this is absolutely amazing. It's that time of the year for parties and everything, but somebody told me about this. I didn't even really originally hear about it. Last weekend, the staff of the El Dorado Hotel in Santa Fe called police, Santa Fe police at 1:30 a.m. to evict partiers from room 465. And then someone from the room where they're calling the partier in chief called 911 herself, demanding to know why they're coming. And I'm the governor, she says. All right, check this out. In I couldn't believe when I heard about this. When I listened to it, I really couldn't believe it. Check it out. This is the governor partying up in Santa Fe in a hotel.
Santa Fe Regional Dispatch, this is Daniel.
Yes, hi, Daniel. I'm calling from the El Dorado Hotel, and we have guests that have been partying in their room. They've been warned already, and they're still not quieting down. They were told to leave, and we were told to call you guys. 465. Could have them escorted off the property.
They were warned, you said?
Yes, they've been warned numerous times throughout the night, and they're still at it.
What is your name?
Shelly Garcia.
Shelly Garcia?
Yes. I'm here at the front desk.
Okay, do you know if they have any weapons or anything like that?
No, I don't. I just know they were throwing bottles off the balcony, I believe, earlier.
Oh, they were throwing bottles off?
Yes.
So what's the phone number you're calling from?
The number is 988-4455.
Okay, we'll go ahead and get an officer out there, get him out of the hotel, okay?
Okay, thanks. And did you need security to meet him or anything?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure it would help. Just a little bit extra people just to
okay.
Get charged. All right?
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye. Bye-bye. Hi.
Santa Fe Regional Dispatch, this is Conlon. How may I help you?
Hi, I just spoke with you calling from the El Dorado.
Oh, okay. What can I help you with?
I actually have someone that would like to speak with you.
Okay.
Okay, hold on one second.
Yes, this is Colin. I'm the Santa Fe City Police Department.
Hi, this is Governor Susana Martinez.
What can I do for you?
Yes, tell me what the complaint is.
I'm sorry, what?
Tell me what the complaint is.
What do you mean?
Why are you coming to the El Dorado Hotel?
Because we were called out there.
For what purpose?
Reference loud noise.
Loud noise?
Yes.
We're in a room eating pizza.
I'm sorry, ma'am. It's just someone called us out there and we have to go.
Someone? Who is someone?
I can't give you that information, ma'am.
Why can you not? It's public record. Give it to me.
Give me 1 second, ma'am. And give me 1 second, ma'am. I'm going to connect you to my supervisor, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. One.
Who's made a complaint?
Can I transfer to my supervisor, ma'am?
You've been trying to do that for a while.
I'm doing that now.
Thank you.
Safi, are you CC? This is Heather. How can I help you?
Yeah. Tell me what the issue is.
I'm sorry?
Tell me what the issue is, please, over here at the El Dorado Hotel in Fort Floor.
I didn't know that there was an issue going on, ma'am.
Oh, I didn't think you did. Well, tell me why you've had two officers here.
We have a call at the El Dorado Hotel saying that there's a party in a room.
Who?
So they called us and asked us to send somebody out there.
Who did?
The front desk.
Oh, the front desk did.
Yes.
Now tell me where the front desk got that complaint from.
I don't have that information. You'd have to talk.
And so you just sent police over to shut down a room?
To go speak to individuals about a party.
Okay. So we're sitting in there. I'm the governor of the state of New Mexico. And we are in there with my sister, who's disabled, along with about 6 other people who are having pizza.
Okay.
Tell me why.
Still there?
Yes, they are.
Okay. I'm showing that we have a commander there as well.
Who's the commander?
He said what?
Who's the commander?
Anthony Tapia.
Anthony Tapia? Hello, commander. Yes, why does it require 3 police officers to be here?
Their response is up to them depending on the severity of the call.
We're all in a room eating pizza.
Okay, well, that wasn't what was reported to us.
What was reported to you?
That there was a party and people were throwing bottles in off the balcony.
I'm sorry, there's no one on the balcony, and there's no one throwing bottles off of the balcony. And if there were, it was about 6 hours ago.
Okay. Well, we got a complaint from the front desk and asked us to send units out, so we did.
And the front desk got that complaint from whom?
I don't know. They didn't advise us of that. That's
they didn't advise you of which other room?
No.
Complaint
they didn't.
That?
They didn't.
Okay. So it was a general complaint.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Commander? Can I speak with you, please? What is the complaint? No, I'm going to go in bottles off. I've been in that room for at least 2 hours, And if there was, it was about 6 hours ago. Everything is, we are eating pizza and drinking Cokes, and whoever is throwing bottles is not there, hasn't been there for like 6 hours. Thank you very much. We appreciate it. There's no necessity for your office to be here. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
You call them off. Goodbye.
Well, you had to hear it for yourself. And it's been reported all across the country. Kelly O'Connell will take a break here. 523-1450. On AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE. And we're going to come back, and I got more stories for you. You're going to love them. Be right back. All right, so there was this moment during the Democratic debate when Hillary goes after Trump.
Short time ago, you brought up Donald Trump first here this evening. We've now seen the polling done well after his proposed ban on Muslims coming to America. 36% of Americans, more than a third, agree with him. You have weighed in already on Donald Trump. You've weighed in on the proposed ban. But what would you say to the millions of Americans watching tonight who agree with him? Are they wrong?
Well, I think a lot of people are understandably reacting out of fear and anxiety about what they're seeing. First, what they saw in Paris, now what they have seen in San Bernardino. And Mr. Trump has a great capacity to use bluster and bigotry to inflame people and to make them think there are easy answers to very complex questions. So what I would say is, number one, we need to be united against the threats that we face. We need to have everybody in our country focused on watching what happens and reporting it if it's suspicious, reporting what you hear, making sure that Muslim Americans don't feel left out or marginalized at the very moment when we need their help. You know, I was a senator from New York after 9/11, and we spent countless hours trying to figure out how to protect the city and the state from perhaps additional attacks. One of the best things that was done, and George W. Bush did this, and I give him credit, was to reach out to Muslim Americans and say, we're in this together. You are not our adversary. You are our partner. And we also need to make sure that the really discriminatory messages that Trump is sending around the world don't fall on receptive ears. He is becoming ISIS's best recruiter. They are going to people, showing videos of Donald Trump insulting Islam and Muslims in order to recruit more radical jihadists. So I want to explain why this is not in America's interest to react with this kind of fear and respond to this sort of bigotry.
I mean, do you really think that people in the Muslims are getting into the jihad business? They're going to sacrifice themselves because somebody in American politics insulted them? Now, here is Trump's response to this.
Just moments here to talk about the debate. Oh, Donald Trump is joining us now. We got him on the phone. Mr. Trump, nice to have you on Fox and Friends this morning.
Well, I like to be a little bit early. We have to be sharp for you folks. Very sharp.
Right. Yeah, yeah. Don't take an intermission and take a break, and then we can't find you at one point during the middle of this this segment. So last night, you were the main focus. I don't know that any other GOP candidate got as much attention or any attention at all. Hillary Clinton on the attack about you. Take a listen.
Okay.
Mr. Trump has a great capacity to use bluster and bigotry to inflame people and to make them think there are easy answers to very complex questions. We also need to make sure that the really discriminatory messages that Trump is sending around the world don't fall on receptive ears. He is becoming ISIS's best recruiter. They are going to people, showing videos of Donald Trump insulting Islam and Muslims in order to recruit more radical jihadists.
Okay, so two main points from that, Mr. Trump. One, that you are the main tool being used by ISIS now to recruit. And the other argument Hillary was making is that you winnow arguments down to simple elements so that people can understand them, glossing over major facts. Why don't you tackle both of those?
Well, first of all, can you imagine having that as president? I mean, I'm just watching, and to see that as president, it just doesn't work. And we've been going through it for years with her. Nothing but trouble. And, you know, just to bring out one thing, Bernie gave her a very, very nice pass on the emails, which he shouldn't have done. He destroyed his campaign when he did that. And then she went after him viciously on this last situation that happened yesterday. So, you know, that's just more of the same from her. The fact is that I'm able, you know, I went to Ivy League schools, I'm a good student, all of that stuff. But you want to take complex subjects and make them a little bit easier. And many times complex subjects, look at the job she did. I mean, she made everything complex and the world fell apart because of her. By the way, hundreds of thousands of people killed because of her incompetence. I mean, it's gross incompetence. And she has done such a bad job in every way. And I am honored to be mentioned. You know, she likes to say, oh, I want to run against Trump. That's because she doesn't want against Trump. You know, if you know the art of the deal, when you want something, you say the opposite to the reporters, as an example in this case. So a couple of them said, oh, no, well, I know she does because she told me she does. They're like little babies. The fact is that, you know, I'm the only one they mention, and I'm the one that she doesn't want to run
against. But Kelly didn't mention you. I mean, she blamed you for ISIS recruiting. I mean, that's a very heavy thing to say. ISIS is a monstrous group.
Right, that's true. They are monsters, and we got to knock them out. But, you know, the truth is that, and, you know, as you know, you did a check. You did a fact check. You're a very talented reporter, did a very strong fact check and checked with the Washington Post and checked with other people, and it turned out to be a very Pinocchio. It turned out to be a lie. It's a total lie. It's ridiculous. And, you know, she makes it up, and she makes a lot of things up. I thought your gun thing with her, you know, she's very much against the Second Amendment, which throws her out for a lot of people, I have to tell you, because we never needed it more than now. But I thought when you said tell her bodyguards, because the concept of telling her bodyguards, I'm going to tweet it out later, tell her bodyguards to get rid of their guns if she feels that way. Let's see how she feels walking around different areas.
Yeah, don't hold
your
breath.
That was very good.
All right, so there's bad blood between Trump and Hillary, and here's a little bit more. Trump saying that Hillary Clinton is a Pinocchio, a major, major Pinocchio, world class. Check this out.
She's a liar and shit.
Firing back on NBC's Meet the Press to Hillary Clinton's claims about him in the third Democratic debate.
He is becoming ISIS's best recruiter. They are going to people, showing videos of Donald Trump insulting Islam and Muslims in order to recruit more radical jihadists.
It's nonsense. It's just another Hillary lie. She lies like crazy about everything.
Factcheck.org hasn't found any evidence of such videos.
We asked the Clinton campaign about this, and they pointed us to an NBC News story that quoted experts saying that this is likely, but there was no reference to an actual video.
Trump has called for a temporary ban on Muslims entering the U.S. in the wake of the San Bernardino attack. Even if it turns out the Islamic State is using Trump's words to recruit terrorists, he's not backing down.
No, because I think that my words represent toughness and strength. Hillary's not strong. Hillary's weak, frankly.
All right, so I believe that she's lying. I don't think they have any evidence that they're recruiting with, but she says they're the number one. ISIS is using Trump as the number one recruiting tool. That's absurd. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Morning, Kelly. It's Sergio. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Sergio?
Yeah, I was going to ask you, what's your take on this? You know, there were reports, you know, earlier this year that, you know, Mr. Trump and Hillary and Bill were all friends and they attended parties together, weddings and such. How can it be bad blood between them? Do you think this is just like a show for our consumption or what?
I've had many people tell me that. I think that Trump is the kind of a person, he likes to be in charge. He likes to you know, he likes to win, and, you know, he's upfront about what he's into. It strikes me as absurd, this idea that Trump is doing this to help the Clintons, and that he's going to get into the race, and then he's just gonna pull a parachute and leave the race so that the Clintons can have the country. I mean, basically, that would mean that everything that Clinton or Trump said was a lie, and that all of the good points that he's made were simply not insincere. I don't really buy into that. I mean, I think that whatever else he's into, I mean, where's the evidence that he's faking a campaign and that he's really trying to help Hillary Clinton?
Well, no, I just question it, and I want your take on it, because my personal opinion is this, is that, you know, if she's going to be shooting lies about him, you know,
where's the evidence,
it's going to question his credibility,
Sergio,
of course.
Sergio, where's the evidence of this claim?
There is none, you know, I mean, that's why I want your take on it. Like I said, I don't think it's, I think the more she escalates that he's a liar and, you know, this and that and the other, of course, they would infuriate any man or any woman for that matter, you know? It's not right, and there's evidence, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, I just, I'm open-minded, but I just, to me, that's ridiculous. Any event, thanks for the call, Sergio. All right, folks, we'll take a little break here. I don't think that Trump is doing this to help the Clintons. Who are the Clintons? I mean, I understand that they're important people historically the last couple of years, last couple of decades, but who are the Clintons that you would totally destroy yourself, your reputation and the party, just to get Hillary into office, when you know that when she gets in, she's going to be the same president that she was the Secretary of State? You know, I mean, to me, that's a no-go question. 7:30, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. 523-1450, 523-1450. And we're going to pick up this theme a little bit more. Hillary and Trump going at it.
Well, the treetops glisten at you, listen to hear sleigh bells in the snow.
Watching football together is great, but I think women would agree.
My dad is a Donald Trump supporter. Can you give him a message?
This is my daughter.
What's your dad's name?
Sean Sharp. My dad.
I think I'll win the Hispanics. I employ.
Well, it's 7:34. One of the things that the Donald has said about Hillary is she goes to sleep during days-long absences from campaign. And, that she lacks the stamina to be the president. And he says, she, quote, she goes out and she sees you guys for about 10 minutes. She sees you for a little while. It's all rehearsed and staged. And that they'll pick a couple of people out of the audience that are 100% in the pocket of the campaign. They'll sit around a little plastic table. They talk to people for a while. It's ridiculous. And then she goes away for 5 or 6 days. You don't see her. She goes to sleep. And that, he says she's not strong enough. She does not have the stamina. So what do you think about that? You know, she's had health problems. She had a brain aneurysm of some kind. She fell down and hit her head. Now, here's Hillary coming back at the Donald.
My dad is a Donald Trump.
And by the way, this is Hillary getting stopped by somebody in a crowd saying, would you leave a message for my dad, who is a Trump supporter?
My dad is a Donald Trump supporter. Can you give him a message? This is my daughter.
What's her dad's name?
Sean Starry.
Sean?
Yes.
We got it recording. Hi, Sean. I'm here with your daughter, and I hope you can see I don't have horns. And I really do hope that as this election goes on, you'll listen to your daughter. Thanks. Bye.
Really profound stuff there. Here is Donald Trump going back after Hillary.
I think I'll win the Hispanics. I employ thousands of Hispanics. They love me. I love them. And I think I'm going to do great with women. And one of the reasons I'm going to do great with women is that I'm a leader. I'm not like Hillary Clinton. She's got no strength. She's got no stamina. Everything she does is like theatrical. Oh, Donald Trump said this. He actually, it was sort of interesting. She said, I watched her last night, Donald Trump, looks like she practices in front of a mirror for 2 hours. Donald Trump said, I think he's dangerous. I'm dangerous. She's the one that caused all this problem. With her stupid policies, you look at what she did with Libya, what she did with Syria. Look at Egypt, what happened with Egypt. A total mess. They don't back. We don't back any of our allies. You look, she was truly, if not the, one of the worst Secretary of States in the history of the country. She talks about me being dangerous. She's killed hundreds of thousands of people with her stupidity.
What do you mean she's killed hundreds of thousands?
She was Secretary of State. Obama was president. The team,
right.
two real geniuses.
Killed hundreds?
Two real geniuses. Of course. Look at what happened. The Middle East is a total disaster under her. She'd travel back and forth. But look at all the problems. Look at, as an example, Iraq. Total disaster. They didn't get us in, but they got us out badly. Okay? Total. We spend $2 trillion, thousands of lives, wounded warriors all over. Look at Libya. Look at Benghazi, our ambassador. He wired her 500 or 600 times asking for help. She'll take her friend's call every time. Hillary Clinton doesn't have the judgment. She doesn't have the strength or the stamina to be president. She will be a terrible president. And I think I'll win.
And so what do you think about that? The Donald, and he's obviously gonna get some support. We'll take a break here and see what we have. Okay, we're gonna take a break and come back and listen to why people are supporting the Donald right now, although he has been, his demise has been reported repeatedly. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450. If you want to bring up a new topic, by the way, feel free, 523-1450. We'll be right back at 738, and it's about 35 degrees outside.
I'm dreaming white Christmas. Will every Christmas call arise?
Okay, so 741, 35 degrees outside. Going to be a nice day. I've got for the after this, I've got a little bit of information on an interview with Chuck Hagel, who's complaining about the way he was treated. He was a Republican that was brought in to run the military and claimed that he didn't get any support, and then everything was blamed on him when he was fired, and that they tried to destroy his reputation. I'll tell you about that. But here's a little bit more. The polls seem to indicate that it's going to be Trump and Hillary facing each other. Check this out.
Well, brand new Fox News poll.
This is a little clip from Fox News. Oh, and we do, before we go to this clip, we do have a caller. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Yes, this is Ken. Kelly, how are you today?
Good, Ken. What's going on?
I have a question for you. On Friday, you talked about possibly showing up and seeing if you could be of any help to Kiki. I was wondering if you had performed that task.
I was kind of joking. I'm trying to stay nonpartisan in this thing. I actually, I was so busy that I kind of forgot to show up to the hearing. The term friend of a, I had made a joke about being a friend of the court. A friend of the court is when an attorney is in the courtroom and steps in to help somebody who needs some information, some direction. Sometimes you'll take someone who doesn't have any representation, you'll pull them aside and explain to them what the judge is saying, because the judge cannot act as an attorney. But that was a joke. I'm really trying to stay nonpartisan in this situation. I don't really know who's right and wrong in this situation, but I'm not a partisan here. Did you go to that?
No, I wanted to, but I truly enjoy your show, and I was just wondering if you had a chance to get involved in that.
No, I mean, I wish I had gone. You know, sometimes I have these great aspirations, and then I kind of forget to put a note to myself because I'm so busy in the office. So far, in the way that the Kiki and the county thing is playing out, what is your opinion to this point?
I believe what's happening is you have the city manager that, like you always say, has a bee in her bonnet, and she's trying to make an issue because Kiki should be afforded an attorney. And it's going to be interesting to see how much corruption, if not corruption mistakes, if not mistakes, just blatant disrespect for each office that we have here in the county.
Kind of weird, isn't it?
It's awfully strange.
Well, I mean, I'm trying to figure out who's going to come out on top, but I think both, like you say, the offices have kind of been tarnished. I mean, I think Billy Garrett comes out looking bad. And, you know, this doesn't make Kiki look good either. And there's a bunch of different players there. It makes the county commission seem inept.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I believe that there needs some radical changes, and I certainly hope that takes place in the future.
All right. Well, I appreciate that. Anything else?
Thank you very much, Kelly.
Have a great day. All right, folks. I was kind of joking. I was going to show up because he didn't have an attorney kind of show up and help him. But I don't want to get in the – I don't want to get in the middle of this. I've had some criticisms for both sides, and but I don't want people to think I'm trying to be partisan here. This is, you know, I'm a conservative, and there's, you know, Democrats are kind of fighting against one another in this situation. But it seems like, I don't know, it seems like Kiki's maybe a little bit more conservative. Julia Brown seems like she's kind of flipped her lid, to be honest. It's very personal, and I did see a clip. I saw a clip from her, a picture from her in the front, I think from the courtroom in the last hearing, that the hearing to decide who runs the jail is continued. But I saw a picture of her, and she looked, I don't know, she just had a real looked like she had a real attitude on her face. Anyway, here's a little bit on the prediction of Trump v. Hillary.
Well, brand new Fox News polls show Donald Trump may be the best Republican candidate to actually beat Hillary Clinton in a hypothetical 2016 matchup. Trump scores 32% of likely GOP caucus goers in Iowa. Ted Cruz, 18%. Marco Rubio is at 14%. And Ben Carson, the doctor, just 6% for him. Well, more Americans concerned about national security than the economy. Do any of these candidates actually stand a chance? Joining us now are the Woodhouse Brothers. Dallas is the executive director of the North Carolina Republican Party, and Brad is the president of Correct the Record. Thanks for being with us here. So when you look at
Morning.
That first poll out of Iowa, what do you think, Brad?
Well, look, I think it's interesting. I mean, Donald Trump, I think one of the untold stories in this race is that Donald Trump's been one of the most consistent candidates we've seen on the Republican side in many elections. He's held a strong lead in Iowa. Now Cruz is challenging him there, but he's a formidable candidate. I don't think anyone in July would have said that Donald Trump's a formidable candidate. He's led the race every day since he got in. All but 3 days he's led the race nationally. So I don't doubt that poll among likely caucus goers believes that Donald Trump's a strong candidate.
Okay, Dallas, your thoughts.
Well, I think that Donald Trump has helped express the anger so many people have in the country over the weak and feckless administration that we have. But at some point, you have to have a positive, forward-looking agenda for the country. And that's what I think people will be looking at.
I don't know. I think that Trump can ride out where he's at right now and take the nomination, and he can win. I'm not saying that that is my candidate, but I'm saying, looking at this, who's going to stop him? Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces 747, flying those friendly skies, 1450 KOBE. And to call in 523-1450, 523-1450. We'll be right back. We're going to continue on.
May your days be merry and bright. And may your Christmases be white.
All right, so I looked up to see if there was anything new on the case, and the last statement on the case was that the hearing for Kiki and the county was postponed about 5 weeks. It'll be on the 27th of January, so they'll certainly have time to get an attorney. Now, here's a little bit more on Trump. Why is Trump receiving so much support? You will understand when you hear this. Check it out.
We turn now to campaign 2016 and the Trump phenomenon. Last week, Republican consultant and CBS News contributor Frank Luntz gathered 29 past and present Donald Trump supporters in Virginia to get their thoughts on the Republican frontrunner, including his controversial comments on Muslims.
Donald J. Trump is calling for a total and complete shutdown of Muslims entering the United States.
Raise your hands if you agree with him. 14, 16, 17.
They don't want to become Americans. They want to come here and for blow free, up America so, right. and kill us.
All Muslims?
Some. Trump
we have no way of knowing.
All Muslims.
Temporarily, we have no way of knowing who they are.
Yes, we need a temporary hold. That's a very reasonable position.
Yeah. We're legitimately afraid. And the president is not making us feel safer.
And he wants to yell at us about like gun control.
I think we're all scared. I'm actually a little jumpy, I find. And Trump is the only one who would come out and say something like this. Yeah. No one else would do it.
So you credit him with that?
I do. Mm-hmm. I mean, no one else would say it. Who would say it?
So you don't see, even in this room, this explosion of points of view that maybe he went too far in what he said?
You know what Trump does? He says something completely crazy and inflammatory, and I'm like, oh, my God. And then he dials back and sort of starts explaining it and saying how he would do
it. Trump is smart like a fox. He's in campaign mode. He has to be proactive. He's intentionally playing the media. He's saying things that are right on the edge. He's exaggerating. He's saying things that he knows the mainstream media will grab and throw a gasoline on, and it goes really big.
Believing everything he says.
Right.
Nobody's like, no, we're taking it for exactly what he just explained. He goes out and he makes a huge fuss to get everyone's attention, to get his issues addressed. We want someone to take a stance. We want someone to say, yes, okay, here's what we're going to do.
Is it his persona, his tenacity, his raising of issues you care about?
His personality is just so large. I mean, he's out there. He's getting everyone to talk about stuff, just like the lady back there said.
He is entertaining. He's giving everyone something to talk about.
He looks presidential and he acts presidential.
You think he acts presidential? So when he said, and I quote, "I would bomb the out of ISIS."
Yeah.
He used the word.
Yeah.
Good. Good.
That's presidential.
Yeah.
Americans think the country is in crisis. Trump is telling them the country is in crisis, and people flock to a strong leader when they think the country is in crisis.
Not
Trump,
people, you. Don't talk about people. You flock to Trump.
Yeah, I'm attracted to his persona.
Because?
Because of what's happening in the world, international affairs. He stands up there. He gives the image he's not going to put up with any crap.
You're an African-American. Why do you support Trump?
Because he's saying stuff that needs to be said. When it comes to the general election, I think a significant number of African-Americans will support Trump because of the entertainment fact that he has, that he, you know, persona, he's a businessman.
If Trump gets elected, he will have people that will coach him to ensure that these type of things aren't said out loud.
We've seen a lot of bad things that Trump has done. We've seen a lot of bad things that he's said. However, we've got a lot more problems in this country that I feel that he is more qualified to handle.
Socially, we are tired of political correctness. I think we're being burdened with it. I think it's making us weaker as a country globally. And I think that he represents that voice of that frustration, that political correct frustration.
Obviously, that has a lot to do with Trump's support and that he's crazy like a fox. He's seen as not excessive as he comes across. All right, here is this, and we've got a phone call, but I've got an article for you I'm going to read after this call. It's just very strange, but thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Now you're beating up on Hillary's mental prowess and capabilities and her physical wherewithal? Her prowess and mentality is 1,000 times better than any of the cerebrally collapsed kooks on your side.
Well, too bad we don't have an expert in dyslexia to come and interpret that. But Hillary's got problems. She's got physical problems. She collapsed. They hospitalized her. She had a brain aneurysm. She looks like roadkill, and she's a weird person, and people are tired of that.
Well, you got to be kidding, Kelly O. By the way, good morning and Merry Christmas
good morning,
to
good
you.
Morning. Hope,
you know,
are you going to celebrate? Are you going to celebrate Christmas or Kwanzaa?
No, come on, don't be. I celebrate Festivus. You know, that's what I celebrate. I'm like Jerry Seinfeld. You know what I mean? Festivus. You know?
All right, so...
Don't say that. You know, she looks like roadkill. Come on, what kind of...
I'm sorry, she resembles a dead animal by the side of the road. Is that better?
Oh, jeez, good Lord, Kelly. I mean, come on, a little bit of... I mean, it's just the Christmas season. Can't you have compassion and stuff?
Hey, she'd look better in a box wrapped up with a bow on top. How's that?
Oh, jeez, you know... Good grief. I'll see you tomorrow,
thanks,
Kelly.
Thanks, have a good night. Be a good day. All right, so New York Times writes this article, and in the article, they do an interview with Obama, and he says basically this. This is what New York Times says. In his meeting with the columnist, Mr. Obama indicated that he did not see enough cable television to fully appreciate the anxiety after the attacks in Paris and San Bernardino. So can you imagine having a leader who does not know how to react until he watches cable news? And then he says he doesn't really like cable news, although he loves PN, which is a kind of cable. All right. They get rid of that. And then they add this later. Mr. Obama argued that while there were potentially threats that would merit the kind of. So anyway, I'm not going to read that. They added something and then they ask him why they had changed it. And they said it was too long. What they added was twice as long from what they removed, and then they changed the headline three times. So they made four different changes, but it made Obama seem like he was not just out of touch, but radically unable to, and you know, pun intended there, radically unable to have a gut feel for what America wants without going to cable. You know what that tells me? He does not believe what the average American does. Even Democrats, he doesn't believe what they believe. He doesn't believe what Republicans believe, libertarians. And therefore, unless he watches social media, unless he watches cable or whatever, he doesn't know how to react because his natural instinct is to dismiss the threat of Islam, terrorism, to poo-poo Syrians who are... could possibly be terrorists. He dismisses all that because his worldview is international, not national. Even Chris Matthews made that point. Trump wants to lead America, or Obama wants to lead the world. Thanks for tuning in. And you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOB with Kelly O'Connell. Hope you have a great day. We'll meet you back in 22 hours. Ciao.